You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Sports Prep Live.
Sports Prep Live.
Where we unbox the mic and talk excellence in athletics. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to Sports Prep Live. I am your host, Graydon Prescott. WNBA draft happened very recently, so we are going to recap, offer our opinions, some predictions on what's going to happen this season and the season going forward, and also a few anecdotes from things going on in the sports world, especially involving the WNBA. So it's Graydon Prescott, KB. Prep talk, you know what it is. KB, you ready to go?
I am ready to roll.
All right. We'll start with the WNBA draft.
Yes.
This WNBA draft class is already being classified as the best of all time.
It is in the books.
In the WNBA. And it started, of course, with the number one pick, to nobody's surprise, Caitlin Clark, first overall to the Indiana Fever.
Yes.
To the surprise of absolutely nobody. It was the right pick. The Fever are going to be contenders immediately.
A-plus draft for the Indiana Fever.
Absolutely. And we'll talk more about another pick that they made, and I'll explain why I think it's so important. But I think the Indiana Fever could end up being in the Eastern Conference Finals in year one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a heavy lift.
Not necessarily. I mean, they were towards the bottom of the league this year.
That's why I'm saying it's a heavy lift.
But
a lot of talent on the floor.
They added Caitlin, of course.
Right.
And then they also, with their pick in the second round, they added Celeste Taylor, who was a great wing defender.
Ohio State.
Something that they lacked
this
year.
She's a hooper.
Yeah.
Strong defensively.
So you add a wing defender.
Yes.
And then Caitlin, of course. And that's a recipe for success, especially with Aaliyah Boston. They already had players averaging 18 points and Kelsey Mitchell.
Kelsey Mitchell.
They had a girl averaging 15 and, of course, Aaliyah Boston. So,
and I think Kelsey is actually, along with Caitlin, I mean, we know Caitlin is number one, but I think Kelsey is in the top five for
all-time in NCAA scoring.
All-time NCAA
scoring.
Yep, that
is absolutely right.
Yeah.
She is.
So she can get buckets.
She's fourth all-time
in
the NCAA in scoring out of Ohio State. She's sensational. She can get buckets, and that's just going to be great for Caitlin to play with someone like that, because she has not had
really had that.
Right.
Other than her USA basketball experience.
Right.
She has not played alongside five-star and not many four-star basketball players in her collegiate career.
Right. So the Fever are going to be sensational. I cannot wait to see what they do with their season. Second pick, we had Cameron Brink to the LA Sparks out of Stanford, a 6'4 forward/center. A great defender, shot blocker.
Good pick for them, too.
Very good pick, yeah.
California girl.
And the Sparks, I think, had as good of a draft as they could have, because they also had the fourth pick as well. They got 2 and 4, and I think that went as well as they could have asked for. And we'll get to the fourth pick in a second here, but that second pick, Cameron Brink, she's what the team needs. They had lacked size. They were a very guard-heavy roster.
Yeah, interior presence.
Right, so to add in a great interior presence, she's going to block shots, she's going to get rebounds, she's going to get her buckets. That's just going to be all the more help for them.
Right.
So I don't see them being a contender right away, like the Fever, but I do see them being a much improved team, and they're not going to be at the bottom of the league.
And she gets to play down the street. California's a big state, from her godbrother.
Yeah.
So Steph a little bit
Curry.
Of a commute. Yes, Steph Curry. And her, the mothers, her mother and then Sonya Curry, went to school together and have been, you know, kind of best buds ever since then. So all the kids know one another, and she's had a chance to watch, you know, Steph's career since she was, you know, knee high to, you know, her mom. And the same thing with Steph. He's obviously he's older, so he's had the opportunity to watch her career in full.
Yeah.
But they're really close. So shout out to both of them. They get to see a lot of each other's basketball going forward.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, that's going to be great for her playing in L.A. She's kind of comes off as
she's a little Hollywood.
Yeah,
that's not a knock. That's
That's a compliment. Yeah, she fits the bill.
Yes. She's got that shine.
Right. Third pick, Chicago Sky. They picked Camila Cardoso, Final Four MVP, out of South Carolina, from Brazil. Actually, she's 6'7". They also needed some size.
Two-time national champ.
That's correct. Once behind Aaliyah Boston.
Right.
And the other one, of course, she was the leading player. I think she has actually a three-time national champion.
Really?
I
thought it was two.
No, because South Carolina won this year, and then last year it was LSU.
Correct.
But the year before that, South Carolina
won. South Carolina,
again.
Right. Yeah. That would be the two that I'm talking about.
So that's three. Wait, no, I'm tripping. Two.
It's two.
Right.
Yes. But they were in that.
They were in the Final Four, yeah.
They were in the hunt.
I confused last year because Iowa lost to them this year.
Correct.
But last year they beat them, and I was thinking, oh, they beat Iowa. Long story. But third pick, Camila Cardoso out of South Carolina. Incredible shot blocker, incredible rebounder, great team player, super unselfish. She hit a lucky three to beat Tennessee.
Right.
And Tennessee had the fourth pick who balled out that
game. Sometimes it is better to be lucky than it is to be good.
Yeah. But then again.
And on that shot it was.
Yes. But then again, that team was stacked. They went undefeated, national championship, one of the most dominant runs we've ever seen in sport. So shout out to them. Dawn Staley, I think that's where she wanted Camila to go. To Chicago because of their coach.
Witherspoon, I think.
Witherspoon, yep.
Yep.
So that was a great pick for them.
Teresa.
Mm-hmm. Teresa Witherspoon, yeah. That's a great pickup for them. They're going to be better instantly. And they also had another pickup that we will talk about, someone who has been a topic of discussion on this show multiple times.
Yes.
But first, like I said, from Tennessee.
Number four.
Rekia Jackson out of
Tennessee. Is a problem.
6'2 forward, going to the Sparks, teaming up with Cameron Brink. And again, she's bringing more size to a team that really lacked size. And also, but she's not a big lumbering shot blocker like Camila Cardoso and Cameron Brink. Not that they're lumbering, but you know, they're bigger. They're not as mobile. They're close to the basket. Rekia Jackson will take you to the 3-point line. She'll hit a mid-range shot. She's got spin moves.
If it weren't for Juju Watkins, there would be a lot more talk about Rekia.
Yeah.
She can hoop.
Absolutely.
I mean, she can flat out ball. So
Rekia Jackson is a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is an excellent pickup, you know, to get those two coming in. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. I cannot wait to see them. I think they're going to be pretty good this year. I don't think they'll be contenders yet, but give them a couple of years and they're going to be dangerous. Very dangerous.
Yes.
They're a good team. Fifth pick. I really liked this one. To the Dallas Wings, a 5'10 guard out of Ohio State, J.C. Sheldon. Scrappy
yes,
defender.
Yes, she is.
Extremely hardworking. She has a high motor. She's a good shooter. She can get you 15 points. I really liked that pick because Dallas was a team, defensively, sometimes they struggled.
Right.
And, you know, you pair her with Ogunbowale. You pair her with a Satu Sabali.
Yes.
And a Natasha Howard. Those are three great scorers who aren't as great on defense.
Right.
Satu does her thing. She'll block shots and all that, but she's not known to be a great defender.
Yeah, I think she's going to stick. And I was actually surprised that she went in the top five.
Really?
Yeah. And no disrespect. I mean, she can ball.
Yeah.
But like you said, I think that really the best description of her is just that incredible motor. Seems like she never gets tired. She's always there defensively. She's crafty. You know, before you know it, I mean, if you turn your head, she's at the rim and getting a bucket. I expected her to go in the top 10, but I did not expect her to go top five. But I do believe she's deserving of it.
Mm-hmm. I did expect her to go top five.
Okay.
I saw a lot of Ohio State this season because they really took my attention when they beat Iowa.
Right.
That game felt like a little bit of a fluke to me when Cody McMahon had 30.
Cody went off, 33?
33, right.
Yes.
Yeah. That felt like a little bit of a fluke because she's not a 33 points per game player.
Right.
But, you know, you had to take note of that team. They were ranked in the top five for a few weeks.
Number two.
Yeah.
In the country.
They got as high as number two. Nobody was taking one from South Carolina, but they got as high as two. So I really watched quite a bit of J.C. Sheldon, saw a lot of her stats. I read some draft reports on her. I felt like she deserved to be a top five pick. And she's a great fit for Dallas, especially them needing a wing defender.
Yes.
That's exactly what she is.
I can't argue with that.
The sixth pick, forward out of UConn, Aaliyah Edwards, 6'3". She's going to the Washington Mystics. Now, the Mystics have struggled recently with the absence of Elena Deladon.
Right.
And they're looking to build for the future. And Aaliyah Edwards could be that player. She could be the one that they build around. She's a sensational player, efficient scorer, good rebounder. She doesn't ever try to do too much. Yep. Very good fundamentally
sound
IQ, player.
Good hands around the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Good finisher through contact. She's a good free throw shooter as well. So she's a great piece to have on the interior. She's not the biggest girl. She's not like Camila Cardoso size, but she's fearless. She's intense, and she's a great pickup. So I think the Mystics hit the nail on
the head. So let's round out this top 10 so we can get to some of the surprises.
Okay.
Some of the really interesting tidbits that popped off in the draft that got a lot of people's attention.
All right. So quick recap of the last few picks of the top 10. Number seven, Angel Reese. I said I would talk about her a little bit earlier.
Okay.
Of course, she's been a topic of discussion on this show many times.
And LSU, she's now paired with
Camila Cardoso, who she tried to rip the hair off of her head.
Yeah, I saw that last time they played. I saw that.
But hey, they're playing together now. They seem excited to play together. They're going to get a lot of rebounds. I think they're going to be a good team quickly. In a weaker Eastern
and
Conference.
And this is another player that. Probably in the last, because of the tournament play, probably did herself some good in the draft. Because
Angel?
She was, yes.
Yes,
she
absolutely.
Was projected almost all year long on ESPN list.
11.
Yes.
Yeah.
10, 11.
I think.
11 is the lowest I saw. But
yeah.
That's only a couple of spots away from being in the second round.
Right. I think all on even on this show, we've talked about how, you know, she was never near the player that Caitlin was. But she didn't need to be. She was on a very good LSU team. She showed up when she needed to. When they played Iowa, she had 17 points and 20 rebounds.
Yep.
I mean, you cannot argue with that. That's an incredible performance. She didn't shoot particularly well, but she also got hurt. So
yes, she did. She was out for a stretch and had to go get on the bike.
And before she got hurt, she was killing them the whole time.
Yeah.
She probably had 15 points before she came out, so...
Much better performance this time against Iowa than last.
Much better, yes. Absolutely. So she did herself a great favor, and I think she deserved to be the seventh pick. I don't think there was anybody else in the draft that was better than her following her. So I think that was the right pick for this guy. She did herself favors, and she deserves to be where she is. It's a great, great fit for her.
I'm going to push back only because I do think there is someone that can rival her. However, we'll get to her a little bit later.
Okay.
She's injured.
Okay.
But I do think that there is someone on that level or maybe even a tad bit higher.
We'll see. Hometown.
But she's injured, so we'll get back to that.
Yep. This is Graydon Prescott on Sports Prep Live, and I'm here with my man KB discussing the WNBA draft and recent WNBA events. So to round out the top 10, we had Alyssa Peely at number 8 to the Minnesota Lynx. Surprise pick. I was shocked, but when I looked into it, great pick.
Yes, it is.
Then you had Carla Light.
One of the French players.
Right.
Yes.
5'9" guard out of France. She's also going to the Dallas Wings, defensive-oriented guard. That's what they needed. And then the other French player, Lila Lacan, I believe is how you say it. She's 5'11". She's from France, but she went to UConn. I think at one point in time. So good pick for them. And then you had Marquisha Davis from Ole Miss to the New York Liberty. Elite, elite defender.
Yes.
The anchor of that Ole Miss defense that was notorious throughout the season. Kept them in the top 25 the whole year.
Indeed.
And they had a pretty decent tournament run there as well. And then to round out the first round, you had an Australian player. Her last name is Pouch. I'm not going to try to say her first name. 6'3" forward. She's going to the Atlanta Dream, pairing up with Ryan Howard. I like that fit.
Yes.
Then we get to the second round, and this is where things really get interesting. Especially moves that were made from our very own Aces.
They had a great draft.
They had a sensational draft.
Bear with us.
Yep.
They had a great draft.
They did. They did. And they didn't have a first round pick.
Correct.
But I think out of all the teams, they had the third best draft of anybody, maybe fourth if you want
to
say the
sky. I saw it rated as a B+. And to be a back-to-back champion and have a B+ draft, that's doing something.
And I don't think B+ is good as high enough, because you don't have a pick in the first round and you get the three pieces that they got. I think that deserves to be an A- at least.
Okay.
I think it should. I would have rated it an A.
I would imagine there's a lot of people out there that would agree with that.
Yeah, because you got to add context. Like, they didn't have a single pick in the first round. Correct. So they weren't going to get a Camila Cardoso, a Cameron Brink, a Rikia Jackson, of course not a Caitlin Clark. So they with what they had, I think they did as well as they possibly could have. At 13 to the Chicago Sky, we had Breonna Maxwell. She's a 6-foot guard out of Gonzaga. I'm not too familiar with her, if I'm being honest, but the things I've heard about her, nothing but positive. Then we had my girl, Nika Mule, from UConn to Seattle. I really loved that pick. She's a great defender. She defended Caitlin
she
as well.
She put the clamps down on Caitlin.
She defended Caitlin
game.
As well as I've seen anyone defend her in her whole career. We talked about pick 15, Celeste Taylor to Indiana. From Ohio State.
Right.
She went to three colleges, but at all three colleges, she was first team all defense.
Defense, yes.
She was all conference team at Ohio State. She was their second or third leading scorer the whole year, but the reason she was so important to them was because of her defense. And that is the piece why I say the Fever will be in the Eastern Conference Finals in year one.
Yeah, because that's an incredible pickup after getting Caitlin Clark.
Right. Caitlin's, of course, we all know, the best offensive player in the draft probably ever to enter the WNBA.
Yeah.
But Celeste is one of the best defensive players in the draft. And you pair those two next to each other, Celeste can shoot on a catch and shoot.
Yes, yes.
So you put those two next to each other, and then you got just
they're
a certified.
Look good this year.
You got a bucket in Kelsey Mitchell. You got a floor general and a bucket in Caitlin. You got Aaliyah Boston to hold down your fort. And then you got other great pieces around you. That's why I say they're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay. I'm not going to go that far, but I expect them to make the playoffs. I expect them to even make a run in the playoffs.
I'll go as far as this.
I don't know that they're going to make the finals.
Within the first 3 years of Caitlin, they'll have a championship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that I'd push back on that.
Okay. Pick number 16. Here we go.
Yes.
We've made it to Las Vegas. And now in Las Vegas is going to be a 5'5" guard from Syracuse, who was the third all-time leading scorer in Division I history. Daisha Fair, the certified
Google her.
Scorer.
She can hoop.
She's short. She's a pit bull. She's a bulldog. Whatever you want to use to describe her.
Right.
She can flat out ball. She is sensational. It was a great pick for the Aces. I think they could not have done better.
And whether or not she sticks to the roster, because that is the toughest roster in the WNBA to stay on.
Easily.
But even if she doesn't stick, to be on the court, to be training with the likes of Chelsea Gray and Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young, like, man, what an education for her. So
and
she's going to come out even better than when she went in.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are just the guards. Then at pick 17, we had a girl, Esmeri Martinez. She's from Arizona. She's going to the New York Liberty. I'm not very familiar with her either. Didn't hear much about her.
Okay, let's just jump to the Aces next two picks.
Right. Pick 18. Here we go. This was my favorite moment of the draft, aside from Caitlin getting
picked
first.
Yes, I think it was a highlight of the draft for a lot of viewers.
So
this was a cool moment.
This has a little bit of a background. This girl came to support Caitlin getting drafted. And,
that weekend, draft weekend in New York.
And they were going to have her sitting in the nosebleeds. Up
correct.
At the mezzanine.
Correct.
And Holly Rowe says, no, you should probably just come down to the first floor and see what happens, because I have a suspicion that you might get picked up. And at pick 18, a 6-foot guard out of the University of Iowa, Kate Martin is going to the Las Vegas Aces.
Bulldog.
I think this was the
best
pick of the draft, aside from, of course, those hyper talented.
This was an incredible pick.
Right, absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant pick by the Aces.
And
again, the toughest roster to stick to, But between her and Fair, I think she actually has the better chance.
I think she does, too. She's bigger.
The third person that we're going to talk to, between the three of them, I think that she actually has the better chance. Even though this third player is more talented, is going to be more impactful. But there's some bigs on that team that it's going to be hard for that third player that we're going to mention to get around.
I think the third player we're going to mention will be not only stick to the roster, she's going to be.
I hope so.
When she heals up, I think she'll be in the top seven rotation because you're obviously going to have Chelsea Gray, Jackie Young, Kelsey Plum, Asia. And then if Candace Parker comes back healthy, she was the starting five or starting four last year.
You still they had Stokes.
They had Kia Stokes. And then they had
Gustafson from Iowa.
Yeah, she's good.
She got re-signed.
Uh-huh. And then they also had Alicia Clark.
Right.
So that was a very deep or very good.
Alicia Clark is tough.
Yeah.
She does not get enough credit.
But she's getting up there. She's 37.
Okay.
So her time might be coming within the next couple of years, sure, which is why sure. I think Kate Martin will stick because she's going to play that Alicia Clark role, you know, hard-nosed defender, right. Shooter.
Right.
But I'm just going to skip to the pick for time's sake. With their 24th pick, the Las Vegas Aces made the genius move to pick someone who was in the running for National Player of the Year until she got hurt.
Yes.
Elizabeth Kitley. From Virginia Tech. This woman can flat out hoop. She's not like she's not your typical big lady who's just blocking shots, standing under the basket, getting
right. No shot away from the basket. No, she's got.
She
can put up numbers.
Yeah, great touch, great hands.
Yes,
she can shoot it. She can put the ball on the floor when she needs to. I think she will easily stick to this Aces roster as soon as she gets healthy. I think she's better than Kia Stokes.
You know,
no disrespect whatsoever, but I think she's more talented than Kia Stokes, and Kia Stokes is a very important piece
of
that
basketball
team.
Basketball player, right?
Right, so I have no issues.
I was surprised that other teams allowed her to go this late in the draft.
It's because of the injury.
It is.
Yeah.
But a player of that caliber, you take the risk.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to take the risk on a short guard from France, again, two of them, no disrespect.
Right.
I cannot see not taking the risk on an All-American who just had a freak accident, doesn't have a history of injuries or anything like that.
Yeah.
She is a hooper, you know, like you said, in contention for National Player of the Year and conference player. I mean, she's done it all. Just a real good hooper, knows how to play, you know, off the ball. Knows how to be in position, knows where she wants to catch the ball, can score from 15 feet out and 15 feet going in.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be a tremendous asset for wherever she ends up. And I agree with you. She may end up sticking on the Aces, and they're just going to get that much better.
And I think she could end up, when she gets healthy, she could be a starter on that team because they have a great four. But then after, you know, Wilson, Plum, Gray, Young, then the roster, it doesn't thin out. I'm not saying it thins out because their next four are still very good pieces.
Right.
But they're not like high end like
the other ones. You got to wonder, you know, how much run does Candace Parker have left in her?
She's been injured a couple of years and Alicia Clark hasn't been injured, but she's older. She's 37. Right. So she's not going to have too many years left. So I think they keep Martin, they keep Kitley. Get them ready to go.
Sydney's got to be looking over her shoulder.
You drop Sydney Colson for D.
I wouldn't have said that, but I'm saying she does. We're thinking along the same lines. She does need to be looking over her shoulder.
You got two. I'm just going to throw this out there, and you don't have to answer this question. This is a rhetorical question. You have two 5'5 people. One of those 5'5 people is on the team because her best friend once her on the team and, you know, she's...
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that either.
She's a good personality and she's super fun.
In fact, I want to let it be known I didn't say that.
No, this is all me. And, you know, she's a great personality. She's super fun.
Yes.
And then the other one is third all-time in the NCAA in scoring.
Yeah. Enough said.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Okay. Outside of the draft, we've had some shoe... controversy. Not controversy, but, you know.
No, it's controversy.
Yeah.
It's controversy.
Yep. So Caitlin Clark decided to sign with Nike on an 8-year, $28 million deal. I'm a rip the Band-Aid off. That's not enough. That's not nearly enough.
I 100% agree.
Zion Williamson, signed with Nike for $75 million.
Over 5 years.
Over 5 years. Zion Williamson took Duke to the Elite
And he was injured once. Coming into the league.
Yes, he was injured. He didn't play his first 50 games in the NBA.
Yeah.
He's been injured for years. He just got injured again.
He's a walking injury.
Right. Super talented. I'm not arguing that. But always injured, injury prone. He had injury history in college, blew out shoes, and he got $75 million.
Yes, he did. And he did not have nearly the impact on the game of basketball that Caitlin Clark had.
Not nearly.
So this is a brand that I hold in high esteem, Nike, that just really, really sharp people all the way up and down the administration over there at Nike. But they let this one – they stubbed their toe on this one.
Yeah.
To offer her – and I'm sure, you know, it's the biggest contract in female history, WNBA – there's a little bit of saltiness out there. Some of the WNBA players have made it known that they thought that other people might be more deserving of this.
They're not.
But they didn't move the needle the way that Caitlin Clark did. Mm-hmm. And what really makes this deal interesting, well, there's so many facets of it, like you said. I just found out today, and I had been talking to you about this, mm-hmm. because for the last couple of years, a lot of people out there are aware, Caitlin Clark has been wearing Kobe Bryant shoes.
Yep, yep.
She's worn the sixes and the fives. And I thought that was a good fit. And young girls were buying these very expensive shoes. Check them out on Flight Club and what's the other one? StockX. I mean, these are expensive shoes. But kids were buying them because their idol was rocking these shoes and doing the darn thing mm-hmm. on the basketball court. And so they actually, Nike came to her with a deal, $3.5 million.
Right. Per year.
Per year for her to be the face of the Kobe Bryant shoe line.
Man.
Which I thought she should have taken.
Man.
They didn't call and ask my opinion, but to me, that was a really smart association for her to have with you know, arguably, you know, the one of the greatest players to ever play in the game.
Right.
Not even arguably. One of the greatest players.
Yeah, no, Kobe's way
so,
up
there. You know, I think she wanted the shoe line, which she did end up getting, you know, her own shoe line. But I'm wondering if that deal is going to sit with her the same way in 2, 3, 4 years. Because we know that Kobe Bryant line is not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then real quick, you know, I think, you know, the controversial aspect of this is, you know, Elena Deldon, Sabrina Ionescu,
Breonna Stewart,
Caitlin Clark,
mm-hmm.
they all have something in common.
Yeah.
They have a shoe deal, they have something else in common.
Yeah.
They're all Caucasian. And for the number of women that have been, now this is, I usually don't subscribe to these arguments, but Nike, again, I think they kind of stubbed their toe on this.
Yeah.
I get it that Caitlin Clark is easy to identify with. I'm not sure that Elena Deldon was, mm-hmm. you know. In other words, young girls, young boys coming up feel like, hey, I can go out there and learn how to shoot the three, much like they did with Steph Curry.
Right.
But there have been a myriad of African-American women who were just flat-out hoopers. We're witnessing one right now who is a two-time back-to-back champion, two-time MVP, defensive player of the year, won on the collegiate level a championship, won on the USA level.
You're going to take up the entire time listening off her accolades.
Right. So I'm gonna give you the floor. I think that Nike stubbed their toe on that. Like, the optics of that are not good. That through the history of the WNBA, three women from Nike have received shoe deals. All three have been Caucasian women. To say nothing of the African-American women who have come before them and really put up numbers and help this league become what it is today.
No, I completely agree. I just want to rephrase what you said. I do not think they stubbed their toe signing Caitlin Clark. That's not what
Correct.
We're saying.
Absolutely.
That's not what we're saying.
That was the right sign.
Yeah. We're just
Caitlin is phenomenal.
I think you and I can't really speak for you, but I think you'll agree with me on this one. We're not saying it was a stubbing their toe signing Caitlin Clark. That's
Correct.
The right thing
Correct.
To do. We're just saying that if you're going to have people with signature shoe deals and all three of the people or four of the people in the WNBA that have sneaker shoe deals are Caucasian, when you have a black...
The only four.
Right. When you have... all four.
Yeah.
When you have a black woman who's a two-time MVP, two-time defensive player of the year, two-time champion, gold medal, like the optics of that are not great. So that's why we're saying they stubbed their toe. They need to give that opportunity to a woman of color as well.
I agree.
And women of color, because there are many deserving in the WNBA right now.
And I bet you Caitlin Clark would say the same thing.
She would.
And it takes nothing away from her.
Mm-hmm. This has been a great episode right here on Sports Prep Live. You already know what it is. Graydon Prescott, KB. Thank you all for tuning in. As always, everyone, have a great day, and we will catch you on the next episode. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Sports Prep Live. I'm Graydon Prescott, and don't forget to catch all of our episodes on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Sports Prep Live. Thank you.